Good morning. May you leave here today knowing that God loves you absolutely, that He wants all people to be saved, and that He has real answers for their difficult questions of life. It's one of the things we're talking about in our series called The Truth About Truth. Today's lesson is from Proverbs 23:23. It's about by the truth, not the truth, by truth. It says buy the truth and do not sell it. So if you'll dig in with me, last week, just to kind of debrief us quickly, Jesus is being tried before Pilate. He says something to Pilate. Pilate says, "What is truth?" And as we pointed out, most Americans don't know the answer. They do not know the answer by their own admission. These are polls that the Barna Institute conducted. And I think they're done in writing, but they polled a lot of people. And too fast here. Many Americans admit they're uncertain about how to determine right from wrong. What a difficult life that must be. You're about to make a choice and you don't even know, is it right or not? I remember becoming a brand new Christian and listening to sermons and reading my Bible and go, what? The Bible talks about that? I didn't realize that. I need that. And to be without truth, to not even know how to make a decision whether or not it's right or wrong, that would be a difficult life. Only 1/3 of Americans, according to the Barna poll, believe in truth is absolute. 2/3 of Americans are relativists, where they don't believe there is absolute truth. Even outside of morality, most Americans don't believe in absolute truth. They believe that truth is relative. And relative truth is this. We'll move on in just a minute, but relative is this, that it's based upon a person's experiences, feelings, opinions, and conditions. So they believe that there are times when it is not only okay, but it's right to lie. But they believe there are times when it's right to murder, not to kill, not to put a murderer to death, but to murder, and they actually have little role-playing games where they teach that. Won't go into the game, but if you want to know, I can tell you afterwards. Taught in some public schools. I know people that have gone through that game. So only 1/3 of Americans believe that truth is absolute. May you be one of those and leave here knowing God loves you, that there is a God, that He wants to save all people. That is an absolute truth. So Proverbs 23:23 is our theme for today, but we're going to draw a lot off of the reading that Bill did from Psalms 119 as well. So Proverbs 23:23 says this, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. That generates a lot of questions. By truth. Well, what truth? What kind of truth? All truth? How much truth? How much should we pay for it? And a lot more questions. We'll touch on a few, but a lot of questions. And where do you buy it? How do you buy it? Who? And to sell it. You can sell truth, actually. Hey, I'd like to buy 7 pages from Wikipedia, please, or 7 articles from Wikipedia. You can sell it. If you couldn't sell it, we wouldn't be instructed not to. God's saying, do not sell it. Do not sell it. So here are the ones we're going to look at, the question we're going to look at. What kind of truth? All truth? Or just certain kinds? How do we buy it? At what price? And what does it mean, do not sell it? We'll touch on all 4, but the two we're going to really look at more thoroughly would be, how do we buy truth? and at what price? Those are the two that we're going to focus on the most. But let's start with what kind of truth? What kind of truth? When he says by truth, is he talking about scientific truth? Anything that's true? All facts? Like how many gallons of water are there in Puget Sound? Here's one. I'd like you to give me feedback after this is done. Maybe I don't want you to, but tell me how much you should pay for. This is truth. This is the kind of thing I learned in my studies at the U to get one of my my zoology degree. So I'll share with you a few facts in the life cycle of a flea. So a flea adult, this is an adult flea right here. And number one, you see it has six legs. It's an insect, and the back legs are longer than the front legs because fleas can really jump. I don't know if you have any experience with them, but they can jump. People are amazed how far a flea can jump. Its food is the same food that mosquitoes eat. They like the same stuff. Their saliva. They use saliva on the host, dogs, cats, mammals, humans, and some birds. They use the saliva to soften the skin so they can penetrate it to get to their food. And this is saliva that's an allergen and it makes you itchy and scratchy and that kind of thing. That's what flea saliva does. So anyway, an adult female can lay about 50 eggs a day. And it has four life cycles. It has, a flea goes, egg, larva, pupa, adult. So the female lays 50 eggs a day. And the thing about the eggs is this, they're not sticky like most eggs of parasites. So since they're not sticky, when a flea lays eggs, they roll off the host onto the ground or onto the carpet if they happen to be in a home, waiting for to hatch and for the next victim after they go through their lifestyle. So now that I've told you that, all that I'm convinced is all true. I've done some study on it. Oh, I didn't finish, did I? So the egg, they're in the egg, and the evolutionists love this, not. So how do they get out of their egg? Well, they have a little horn made out of chitin on the top of their head, and somehow they cut through the egg. Now, evolution's pretty cool to figure that out, but I'm joking. But they get out of there, they get out of the egg, and it varies a little bit. 5 days, 18 days, they become a larva, like a little teeny worm, a quarter of an inch long. And they, what they eat is the feces of adult fleas, which is dried blood. And they wiggle around for a while, then they spin a cocoon like a butterfly. And they can be in that cocoon from a few weeks to over a year, waiting for the right conditions. Now, aren't you happy that I share that with, how much would you pay me? How much would you pay to know that? And the thing is some of you have gotten through life for 50, 60, or 70 years not knowing that, and you did just fine. Who cares? Right? Who cares? Interesting maybe to some, gross to others, but so what? The life cycle of flea, true, but I'm not going to pay for it, even though I know it already. So what kind of truth? Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that's what truth is, the kind of truth that God is talking about buying. It's the gospel of the good news of your salvation. That's the truth he's talking about. Having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here's another one, Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel is truth, the kind of truth that God wants us to buy. And then lastly, Psalms 119, 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So the sum, the totality of the Bible is true, and it's spoken over and over again. Jesus said of God in John 17:17, your word is truth. That's the truth were to buy, not the life cycle of fleas or anything else, but the gospel truth. It narrows it down, and if you read the Bible, it's quite clear. It is not confusing at all what kind of truth, but the truth that saves us. That's what God, why He created us in the first place. That's why He sent Jesus, to have the truth that saves us, because that is His desire. So how do we buy truth? That's the question. How do you buy it? And so the reading really, really helps us understand how you buy truth. Just read with me. So verse 9, how do you buy the truth? Verse 9, by keeping it according to your word, by keeping our way, first part of it, our way according to God's word. When we walk as a Christian, it takes effort, and that's buying truth, keeping truth according to God's way. All my heart, I have sought you. That's effort and time and sacrifice and thought, and that's buying truth. Your word I've treasured in my heart. That's buying truth. Teach me your statutes implies that the person who wrote this wants them. I'm open, dear God. Teach me the truth that I need. The person wants truth. That's part of the process of buying truth. This is the interesting one. With my lips I have told of all the ordinance of your mouth. It's interesting that he puts this in here because if you really believe, if you know that you have the truth which is from God, it's too precious to keep to yourself. We're not selling it, we're telling it. Telling other people about the truth from God. And look at this, he says, I've rejoiced in your testimonies. That's one who is buying and has purchased truth, rejoicing in it. I can't believe it, God, you told me how to be an effective father or worker or employer. I didn't know the Bible had this in it. Thank you. I rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. A person who buys truth says, I'd like more money, but I'd rather have truth. So when we have to make choices between the two, buying truth means I'm choosing truth over more money. Sometimes we're faced with that very dilemma right there. I will meditate on your precepts. Sacrifice again, that's buying truth. And I'll regard your ways. I'll give them value. I'll think about them. And I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. That's part of what it means to buy. That's a good concept right there on how to buy truth. You know, years ago, people depended upon horses for their transportation, the main mode of transportation besides walking. I mean, for millennia. In fact, as recently as 90 years ago, less than 90 years ago, Lisa's dad, who was a gospel preacher, when he was a boy in the 30s, 1930s, he moved his family. He was one of seven or nine brothers, I forget, but he was one of many brothers, and his entire family moved from Texas, I think it was Texas first, to Roswell, New Mexico, in a covered wagon in the 1930s. A covered wagon! They needed horses. They were very expensive. And if you were thinking about buying one, because people had to have them back then to accomplish certain things, think about buying them. One of the things that people did, and Dan knows way more about this, I should have called you, I just didn't think about it, but before they bought a horse, one thing they would do, after they looked at the horse itself, they looked at the horse's teeth. Because the horse's teeth give you all kinds of information. You can tell within just a couple of years, according to my reading, how old the horse is. You know how old they are. You can tell something about their, you can tell their gender, what sex they are. You can tell somewhat about their health by the condition of their, so this person, get your fingers out of my nose, lady, but that doesn't look too comfortable to me, but it seemed to be enduring it. She's checking the teeth. Now check out this one. Look how much shorter the teeth are on the horse on your right. This is a lot older horse that's worn down its teeth through chewing. So they would check, they would examine the horse's mouth and teeth. And isn't that interesting that the Bible in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but examine everything, hold fast to that which is good. And Joel, when it says everything, again, we're talking about truth. I don't want you examining my socks or my briefcase, but examining everything that's important, like spiritual truth, like moral truth. Examine it all. Scrutinize it. Hold fast to that which is good. It's going to go on to say, abhor that which is evil. Hate that. But the idea here in buying truth is wanting God's truth so much that we are constantly looking for it. Constantly. Scrutinizing everything of importance. Does it agree with God, or with the Word of God, or conflict? And you know, let me be blunt here. I will be blunt, whether you want me to or not. And you probably do. But if a Christian hasn't read the Bible entirely, did they buy truth? If they haven't read it once from cover to cover, are they a truth buyer? My assumption is no, they're not. Mike Brenneman or whoever else is up here may be wrong. Probably is occasionally. If they haven't read the Word of God, they really don't know from God Himself what the truth is. They're dependent upon people. So even if you don't, if someone online or someone here doesn't know what the truth is, what God's truth is, dig in. Don't mess around. Dig in. Buy the truth, meditate, read, pray, and find out if it's reliable or not. Hey, this is either the Word of God or it's a man-made fraud. It's one of the two. It's not relative, either from the Creator or not. And the evidence is so vast. There's so much. It's so compelling. You can know. You dig in. You do the search, you'll know that this is from a Creator. No human being could predict the future in such detail as the Bible did. So find out what is reliable if it isn't the Bible, and grab it, because your life is messy without truth. So a recent frustration of mine. And look, I don't get political up here, and you're not going to know my position on it, but I'm going to tell you a recent frustration. During the COVID episode, there are those proponents that pushed hard for masks, and there's those that pushed hard and said, masks are a waste, they don't do any good. I know one thing, whether I have the truth or not, it can't be both. Either they're more good, either they're more harmful, or they do nothing, but it's one of those three. No change at all, they help, they hurt. I'm very frustrated because my training for 7 years was in the sciences, and all you have to do is put some time in and read the research, because there's good research out there, and you can know. I'm not going to tell you where I stand, because it's immaterial, except that there is truth, and it's available. You've got to do a little work. We shouldn't, when I say we, I don't mean us, but our nation should not be divided over it. You can figure it out, and I'm frustrated about that because I love truth. I got that from my parents. They weren't Bible students, but they were godly, and they taught me to love truth, the greatest gift they could ever give me. So when I see stuff it's irrational and divided. It frustrates me when the truth is available. Well, that to say this, it's the same with salvation, and it's much more important. What really frustrates me, if you go to 10 different denominations, you find out what they believe is necessary to be saved. I'm not talking about trivial stuff. Can you have a building or not? Should you use songbooks or not? Do we have to stand when we pray? I'm not talking about trivial stuff. Believers can't even agree on what is necessary to be saved. What? It's right here, as plain as day. Some teach you don't need to repent to be saved. Some teach you do. It is not both. And I'm shaking my... I know you know this. I'm frustrated. Because millions of people are on both sides, so millions are wrong. Whichever side has the truth, the other side has to be wrong. Either you need to repent to be saved, or you don't need to be. And it's taught both ways. You need to be baptized, or you don't need to be. It's taught both ways. That's serious stuff, and it's not relative. God is quite plain. Corresponding to that, after Noah was saved through water, 1 Peter 3:20, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the washing away of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a clean conscience. Now saves you. Pretty clear, pretty absolute, and there are lots more like that. But this is a serious thing, and you have friends and family that are on the opposite side of the fence as you are. That's sinful and displeasing to God, because He tells us to be of the same mind and the same faith. And that means even if it takes work on our part, hey, Gary, I'm concerned. We don't agree on an issue of salvation. I just want the truth. Maybe you have it. Then I want it. Maybe I have it. I'd love to share it with you, but it can't be both. You have to and you don't have to. Would you be willing to study with me? As friends, as Bible detectives, on the same team, just looking for truth, because it's there. God's word is truth. Amen. Available to us, as is salvation. So what price should we pay for truth? Let me think just a minute. Where am I? We looked at the teeth of the horse, right? And this verse, I think I passed it, but I want to say a little bit more. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, but examine everything, hold fast to that which is good. You know, I don't know if you read this in the news, probably not, because it didn't make the news, but this policeman, I don't think you knew him, TC, but this policeman was on Highway 18. And he sees the car acting strangely, so he pulls it over, and there's two really elderly couples. I'm old, and they're a lot older than me. Really elderly couples inside, and the lady says, "Officer, I know I wasn't speeding. What is there a problem?" He says, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "I was obeying the speed limit. I have my..." cruise control set on 18 miles an hour. And the police, that's why I pulled you over. That sign that this is 18, that's not a speed limit sign. That's the highway name sign. This is Highway 18. And then he happens to look at the three other people in the passenger, the other passengers, and they're trembling. They're white. They look nauseated. And he says, "Is everybody okay here?" And they said, "We just got off of Highway 167. What was the problem? This woman took a casual glance at a highway sign that said 18. She did not examine. And although that's a silly story, it is so easy to do in real life. We must examine everything carefully, everything of significance. So which price should we pay for truth? Excuse me. Cost is a non-issue. That's why it doesn't tell us how much when it says buy truth, it's a non-issue. It's irrelevant. The command is to buy it whatever it costs. Can you think of anything that's more important than truth? And some people would raise their hand and say, yeah, love. And I go, okay, that's the greatest commandment. I get it, love. But you can't have love without truth. They're inseparable. If you love someone, you act in their best interest. You're going to speak the truth to them. You're going to act in their best interest. I don't believe you can separate truth and love. Is there anything more important than truth? Buy it, whatever the cost. Buy truth and do not sell it. So how much would you be willing to pay for food if you were starving to death? Water if you have none? If your children were starving or dying of thirst, you'd pay anything you could. You'd borrow. You'd sell your home. You would pay anything to fix that. That's the idea behind truth. Nothing more valuable than knowing what it is. Jesus asked the question. This is the second half of the verse, Matthew 16, 26. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Hopefully nothing. Hopefully it is the thing we're going to seek out and buy. I must have God's truth as the attitude. I must have it. I will pay any price for it. That's the idea of buying the truth. So how can we sell truth? It says, buy truth and sell it not. To give the command means you have the option of either selling or not selling. How is it possible to sell truth? Now that I've told you about the life cycle of a flea and changed your life forever, now that I've told you about the life cycle of a flea, I've changed really nothing, and I still have it. Just by giving you the truth that I had, I didn't lose it. So how can we sell the truth, which implies you don't have it anymore? Well, back to our reading, Psalms 119, verse 10. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Leaving the commandments of God is selling the truth. Saying, I'd rather have this stuff, this worldly stuff, these experiences. I'd rather have this than truth. God says no, I say yes. That's selling the truth. In the next verse, your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Sinning against God with knowledge is selling the truth. It's saying, I know what the truth is, but I don't want it. At least not in this case. To sin against God intentionally is selling the truth. It's saying, no, I want the lie. I want Satan's contradiction to God, the lies, the falsehood. That's selling the truth. Selling the truth is trading it for a lie. Romans 1:25 says, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. So they made golden images, wooden images, and they said, oh, God, I'll take what I made with my own hands, because there's no responsibility. There's no requirements when we follow something that's inanimate, like a made-up idol. So they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. The creator is blessed forever. Amen. So, question for you. Is the Lord unreasonable? Is he unreasonable when he asks us to buy the truth regardless of cost? That's a pretty high price. Some people pay for it with their lives. Some people lose friendships or family. Is that unreasonable? And you know the answer, but let me say it anyway, that Jesus and God, they sacrificed more than we could ever sacrifice to save us. They're already in heaven. They're already saved. But to save us, they sacrificed more than we could ever say. Jesus paid more for us than we could ever pay. Acts 20, 28, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So Jesus says, I will pay for you, Mike, Lana, Kurt. I'll pay for you. I'll pay for my blood. By doing so, he's saying that we are more important than his very life. You always, when you buy something, you always say, I want the object I'm buying more than what I'm paying for it, whether it's a car or a watch. I'd rather have that watch than the $300. I'd rather have that car than the $35,000. And Jesus said, I'd rather have all people, even at the cost of his life. He paid more than we could ever pay. He's not asking us to the unreasonable. We can't even actually imitate him all the way. But he is saying, buy it, the truth, buy truth, and do not sell it. So God intends for truth to flood our lives with goodness. That's what it's all about. There'll be troubles no matter if you choose truth or not. But he wants us to have truth so he can flood our lives here on earth with goodness. And then he takes us home to him in greater glory and greater goodness. If you have not been saved, then by the truth of the gospel, believe in Jesus. If you're not sure, study it. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as Lord. Be baptized into Jesus, as it talks about in Romans 6, 3 through 6, and you become a new creature. The old person will be dead. You'll be new in the sight of God, his child now. That's the invitation that we're offering today for you to buy the truth. Become a Christian today if you're ready to make that decision or if you know how to do that. But we're going to sing the song of invitation. Please stand at this time and get ready to sing the song that has been selected.